Well, good morning. Welcome. Great to see all of you. Also want to say hi to everyone viewing this online. Welcome. Great to have you with us as well. So in the last decade or so, two or three, I think there's been a clear shift in the way that we converse, in the way that we communicate with one another. It would seem, in my humble opinion, that dialogue in many places has turned into debate. We talk at each other instead of talking with each other. And in some places, opinion carries more weight than facts. It's easy to let words flow from our mouth without consequence. And as a result, thoughtful, honest, respectful conversation, especially over hard topics or points of disagreement, it's becoming anemic, even in places of faith. And I fear, as the result of all of this, that we are beginning to lose some things. Things like kindness and patience, respect, honor, and civility. Last weekend, we kicked off this message series called Civil Conversations. There was a passage that I use that serves as the foundation of this entire series. It's found in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to put it up on the screen, and I want us to read it out loud together. Colossians, chapter 4, verse 6, read with me. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Conversation is important. I define conversation simply this way. A conversation is a rhythm of talking and listening. If it is not a rhythm of talking and listening, it is not a conversation. It is simply a monologue. The words that we use in our conversations matter because our words are powerful. Our words are spiritual. Our words have the potential to change history. It's why the writer of Proverbs chapter 18 said so plainly, the tongue has the power of life and the power of death. The context and the content, the language of our conversation is shifting. If you don't believe me, I want you to go back and watch a movie that was produced in the 1950s. Just watch a few of those. And then go and watch a movie from today. Language is changing. There's a shift from more formal to more casual in the boundaries of what is culturally appropriate and inappropriate have been blurred. And so I wonder if in the midst of all of it, we're losing a bit of ourself, maybe even some of our humanity. So last weekend, we got real participatory. We all got involved, and so we're going to do that again today because it was just awesome and fun. So I'm going to ask a series of questions again this week. And if the answer is yes, if you answer in the affirmative, I want you to raise your hand, okay? So I'm going to raise my hand as well. So if I raise my hand, I'm answering in the affirmative. So here's the first question. Have you ever hurt yourself, stubbed your toe, banged your elbow, and before you could even think, let a curse word fly or a cuss word fly? If that's you, raise your hand. Second question. Have you ever been in a group of people and told an off-color or inappropriate joke? If that's you, raise your hand. Have you ever, let's get a little personal, have you ever spoken negatively about someone else behind their back? If that's you, raise your hand. Finally, have you ever used words to intentionally hurt someone else? Raise your hand. Well, you're in good company because we're all imperfect people. We all do stupid things. There is no air of superiority at Northbrook, and I will heartily admit that the pastor of this church does stupid stuff all the time. stuff that he regrets, stuff he wishes he could take back. But we are all human. One of our values is we're real people with real problems and real questions. So I hope that we continually make space for all of our imperfections. These messages that I'm giving are not meant to make us feel bad or shame anyone. And yet at the same time, I do hope I'm challenging all of us, myself included, and calling us to a higher place. Today, our scripture comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I encourage you to turn with me. I'm also going to put the verse up on the screen. And I'm going to read the passage for today. The passage is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to pause for a minute, and then I'm going to read it again because I really want these words to drop deep down into our soul this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The book of Ephesians is a letter, though we call it a book. It's actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul. It would have been a handwritten letter that was hand-delivered to a group of people living in Ephesus. Ephesus is an ancient Greek city on the coast of Ionia in the nation that is now called Turkey. This letter, which is now conveniently translated into English and divided into chapters for all of us, did not have chapters in the original version. But for us and for our benefit, there are now chapters. And as we come to chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is changing the tone and the direction of his letter. Beginning in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul begins a section on ethics, especially Christian ethics. I don't know if you've ever taken an ethics course in high school or college or graduate school, but ethics courses are interesting in that they are designed to discuss the principles of human behavior. Most ethics courses contain subjects that are controversial in culture. Ethics courses are places of debate because we all find ourselves on different sides of issues. But when you consider the scriptures as a whole, what you discover is there is a guiding Christian ethic. There are principles that influence our behavior that are grounded in two core components, two dominating core components. And those components are relation and reflection. Relation and reflection. They're relational because our behavior as followers of Christ are influenced out of an individual and communal relationship that we have with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's Trinitarian in nature. Our ethic is also reflective because our behavior is a reflection to the world around me of the God that I serve. We are reflectors of God in the world. This includes our conversations and our speech. It's why the Apostle Paul begins this section of scripture by saying, I want you to watch the way that you talk. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Now, when the Apostle Paul uses the word unwholesome, he's not specifically referring to strong language or even cuss words. That's not what he's specifically implying, although I guess it could be deduced from that as well. However, if you consider the Bible as a whole, the Bible as a whole has some pretty strong and direct language in it, especially the prophets. The prophets, from time to time, use vile language or vile imagery to make a point. And even the Apostle Paul, writing in the New Testament, uses words that are a bit questionable. For instance, there's a passage in which the Apostle Paul writes, "I count my life as rubbish." Now, that word rubbish is an English translation of the Greek word skubula. Now, that word skubula in the ancient Greek would not have specifically meant rubbish or garbage. The word skubula is actually a word that is a more forceful word for the word dung, if you see where I'm going. That's what the word actually means. But for the kindness of our ears, the translators have chosen to use the word rubbish. The Apostle Paul uses the word skubula because he's trying to make a forceful point. Sometimes the goodness of God becomes lost in a fog of religious rhetoric and religious routine. And the only way the writers of the Bible can jar us out of our mediocrity is to use strong, provocative language, which they do from time to time. We've all used strong language. Sometimes we use strong language to make a point, and sometimes we use strong language simply out of an impulse or a reaction. In my house, we have a dining room, and above the dining room is this cheap light, not a chandelier, but like a hanging light that hangs way too low, and I have been known to stand up too quick and bang my head really hard, even though I know it's there, on this pointed thing that sticks out of the bottom. And in the presence of all of my family and my children, I have been known from time to time to use a word that I probably shouldn't use in front of my children, but it's an emotional reaction. That is not specifically what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he uses the word unwholesome, though I do not endorse foul language. Remember, like you, I'm imperfect. And I grew up in New York. If you were here last weekend, that makes more sense. The word unwholesome, as it's used in Ephesians chapter 4, quite literally means language that is rotten or decaying. The specific use is this. Unwholesome language is anything that is offensive to the senses because it intentionally hurts someone else or causes division. Do not let your speech become decaying and rotten because it hurts other people or causes division. That is what he's specifically talking about when he uses the word unwholesome. These things are out of character and inappropriate for someone that is trying to relate to God and reflect him in the world. There are just some things that are offensive for those of us trying to relate to and reflect Christ. Each weekend, when I am getting ready to come here to Northbrook, I stand in my closet and I choose a set of clothing. Now, I'm pretty intentional about the things that I wear on the weekend. I don't want to be too casual, but I don't want to be too official. I think I'm trying to find the fine line between the two. And so what you usually get is this most weekends. But I wonder how you would feel if on any given weekend I chose to come to church because I was feeling a bit casual and I walked in on the weekend wearing a t-shirt and my wife's yoga pants. Sorry for the image I just put into your head. Oh, there's no picture. If I walked into this place wearing a t-shirt and my wife's yoga pants, some of you would laugh, some of you would gasp, some of you would run out of the room, and most of you would be deeply, deeply offended. Because it would be inappropriate for me to wear these anywhere, let alone here. There are some things that just do not look right. There is some language that when it comes out of the mouth of someone trying to follow Christ, especially language that is hurtful or divisive, when we speak it, the offensive image I get in my head is a grown man getting up to speak the words of Scripture in a t-shirt and yoga pants. Because your ethic is one of relationship with God, because your ethic is one of reflection of God, do not let any rotten or decaying language come from your mouth that is out of character because it is intentionally offensive, hurtful, or divisive. Then the Apostle Paul goes on to get real practical. He then talks about tone, intent, and impact. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. In these words, the Apostle Paul gets specific, practical, and applicable. He first begins talking about tone. Tone is the attitude or disposition of my language. The Apostle Paul mentions bitterness, anger, or rage. When I am bitter, when I am angry, when I am raging, the chance of something unwholesome, the chance of something hurtful or divisive or destructive coming out of my mouth greatly increases. And when I'm angry, bitter, or raging, my words become a reflection of that emotion more than they are a reflection of God. Then he speaks of intent, what I do with my language. He talks about brawling and slander. Brawling is the image of two people yelling at each other, saying things about each other's character. When you look at someone and say, "You're an idiot," that's brawling. Maybe you've been to a sporting event and the umpire or the referee made a call that you did not agree with, and it took everything within you, or maybe you had no restraint, and you let that referee or umpire know exactly how you felt about that call, but then you took it one step further, and you started talking about that referee or that umpire's character, or you started talking about their intelligence. That's brawling. Right now, I am in the midst of youth sports. My children are in all kinds of stuff right now. I was at a football game yesterday. Slinger versus Elkhorn. Parents can be interesting. And I'm not going to talk bad about anyone because I was at a game a few months ago. And the official made a call that was clearly wrong. And my wife could see the look on my face, and she reached over and grabbed my hand and squeezed it really hard. And I was And then when it was over, and I can't see as good as I used to. I mean, I used to have great vision, now I've got glasses. But when I could actually visibly see the official, they were a Northbrooker. And what I was going to say was not a reflection of God or any indicator of a relationship with Him. And what makes matters worse, these kids are 10 years old. No scholarships are on the line. Nobody's getting drafted. Then he talks about slander. When I talk behind someone's back, the intent is either to make them look overtly bad or make myself look exaggeratedly good. And neither one of them are life-giving. I am convinced that gossip is the greatest sin ignored in the church, yet it is the most destructive. I don't think there is any curse word or cuss word that you could say that is more destructive than gossiping about someone behind their back. Because then the Apostle Paul goes on to talk about impact. What is the result of my language? He uses this phrase, along with every form of malice. Malice implies wicked actions that are intended to do harm. What is the impact of my words? See, we are created in God's image, in God's likeness. When I look in the mirror, what I see is a reflection of God. The scriptures teach us that every single human being on the planet is created in God's image and in God's likeness. And so when you look in the mirror, what you see is the image of God. When I look at you, what I see is the image of God. So when I'm talking with someone, when I'm speaking with them, what I'm conversing with, I'm conversing with an image of God. When I choose to use words that are hurtful or even slanderous behind someone's back, what I'm essentially doing, the impact of my words is on the image of God. And what I do to that image is I shatter it. My words have the potential to shatter the image of God in people. It's why the Apostle Paul is so forceful when he talks about these things. What is the impact of my words? And sometimes we say something that comes across hurtful or damaging, and then we say, oh, I was just kidding. As if the phrase "I was just kidding" covers a multitude of sins. Or we say something sarcastic. The word sarcastic in its original form means to tear flesh. We say something sarcastic and it was clearly hurtful, and we say, oh, I was just kidding. Or we say something that we really mean or believe, but then we can see it's clearly hurtful, and we say, oh, I was just kidding, to get out of trouble. One of my friends made a joke about Mexican people. And I said, you know, my wife's Mexican, right? They said, oh, I was just kidding. I was just joking. And then I gave him a bloody nose and said, I was just joking. I didn't do that. We say that phrase as if it covers a multitude of sins, but do we consider the impact? Sure, it's a joke, maybe, meant to make us all laugh. But the point is, it comes at someone else's expense. And the true price is what? The warning is any language that is obscene or vulgar, anything that tears down or divides, it's unwholesome. So it could be gossiping about a fellow church member or someone at work. It could be dropping a belittling comment on social media. It could be going off on the guy behind the airline counter because our flight got messed up. It could be holding up hateful signs in protest. They're all examples of unwholesome conversation. They are unfitting when they come from the lips of a follower of Christ and they feel offensive. A bit like me showing up in some yoga pants at Northbrook Church on the weekend. So watch the way we talk. And then he goes on to say, let your words be a helpful gift. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Helpful for building up. The word or phrase building up means bringing something closer to fullness. It is the image of assisting in the completion of an incomplete building project. Listen, you and I are all in process. We are all being built. We are growing, we are learning, and we are changing. And so the Apostle Paul is giving us a metaphor here. It's the metaphor of a building being constructed. So here's the image. Here's the picture. Words that build up are like the assistance of building in an incomplete building project. You and I are all works in progress, being made into something useful and beautiful. But when we use damaging words, it's a bit more like this. It's a bit more like an explosive charge set on nothing but destruction. Let words be helpful for building up and meeting the needs of others. The other day, I was stressed out. I was in a bad place. I was just frustrated. You ever been frustrated? I had a frustrating day. And I opened up my computer, and I think it was on the city or some social media. And I opened up, and there was a note from someone here. And in the note, they just wrote something really simple and really encouraging. It was just a really nice, simple, kind words. I don't really even know this person very well, but they just wrote some really nice words. And it did something to kind of jar me out of my funk. I just, like, I felt better because, and it was like three sentences, just a really nice letter. I'm like, wow, that was really encouraging. And I felt built up. I've also had conversations with people at Northbrook, and we disagree on stuff, and maybe they disagree with the decision that I made, and I've been able to sit down with people from Northbrook, and we heard each other out. And though we did not come to mutual agreement, we had mutual respect, and both of us left built up because we heard one another. You don't have to agree with someone to build them up. You don't have to agree with someone to build them up. Our words are for the benefit of the hearer. I think we, as a people of faith, should be incredibly strategic and thoughtful in the words that we use. One of my favorite quotes of all time comes from Gandhi. And this is what he said. Only speak if it improves upon the silence. Only speak if your words are going to make the sound of silence better. Because if we don't, what we're told is that our unwholesome conversations grieve the heart of God. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Apostle Paul wants us to know that whenever we act, we're acting with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The scriptures say that if we follow Christ, God's Spirit lives in us. And then in some mysterious way, our behavior, our words, our conversation grieve the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And so I want to leave us all today with a practice. There is something about ritual and practice. There is something about doing something with our faith, practicing our faith, giving metaphors to our faith. I don't know if you've ever looked at the rituals of sports figures. But sports figures do some really weird stuff before games. I mean, there are some guys that wear the same pair of socks all season without washing them. I mean, there are all kinds of really weird sports rituals out there. The Christian faith also has rituals and practices to remind us of our faith. So I'm going to give you one. I want us first to hear the words of Jesus. Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, makes a statement that's really, really impactful. He says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or gather grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil things stored up in his heart. For out of the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus' words are an affirmation of Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, in which the psalmist writes, may these words of my mouth and these meditations of my heart Be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So I'm going to give you a practice. Now, it may sound a little bit weird, but it's not weird, okay? Just say, okay, Mike, I trust you. It's not weird. It's going to be our game day ritual for every single day this week. So just give me, can you just trust me, okay? So in the Bible, oil has special significance, specifically olive oil in the Bible, but any type of oil meant to use in cooking. In the Bible, oil was used in consecration. So when a king was crowned, they would put oil on their forehead as a symbol of consecration or anointing or being set apart. It was a symbolic gesture. Throughout the scriptures, oil also is a representation or a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. And so whenever oil is used in the Bible, it was meant for something to be set apart or a symbol for holiness or consecration. So here's what I want, what I'm going to challenge us to do this week. Again, it's not weird, just hang with me. The beginning of our day, we all have a routine. We take a shower, brush our teeth, we floss. I hope you floss, because like every time I go to the dentist, the hygienist like goes off on me for not flossing. So I try to floss, put on deodorant, get dressed. What if, now hang with me here, what if you had just a little cup of oil by your sink, the cooking oil, olive oil, what, avocado oil, whatever you have in your house. And what if you just, in the morning, you dipped your finger in it, put it on your mouth, and recited Psalm 19, may these words of my mouth and these meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you, O God. Now listen, this is not magic. There's nothing magical about the oil. This isn't some kind of weird cult practice. This isn't like voodoo. You're not involved. This, it's a metaphor, okay? If you're new to Northbrook and you're like, that's weird. It's not weird. Just, okay? Are you with me? Are you dragging me here? Because like, even as I said it last night, I'm like, this could sound really weird. For the next 7 days, as your pregame ritual for the day. Because there is something about practices and rituals that bring meaning to our life. You all have rituals, right? I mean, I bet you most of you aren't. Anybody dab oil on their mouth in the morning? Probably nobody. But I look around and I see, right now, I see some Packers clothing. That's your game day ritual. You're wearing it. For a reason, Packers play today at noon. It's why you're here at the 8 o'clock service. What if your game day ritual for the next 7 days was simply, God, this week, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you. It's a fulfillment of what the Apostle Paul writes as we wrap up. I want to read Ephesians chapter 4 again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Amen. So to wrap up, I want to encourage you to grab your connection card. I've only got one next step for today. We just talked about it. On the back of your card, there are a series of next steps to help us apply the messages to our life. There's one this week I want us to pay attention to, the one I just talked about this week. I will practice anointing my lips. So if you're going to join me, I'm going to do it with you this week. Get a little cup, some oil. It could be Crisco if that's all you got. Put it by your sink after you brush your teeth. Just dab it. Again, there's no magic in it. Don't think that way. It's a metaphor. It's a symbol. Anoint your lips and say, and pray Psalm 19, may the words of my mouth this week, may the words of my mouth today, O God, and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you in everything that I do today. So take a second if you're going to join me in that. I want you to check that box as we do it together. Fill out your connection card as an act of worship, and we're going to collect these in just a moment. Before you go, if you'd like someone to pray with you, just want to remind you that off to my left, your right, under the screens, there are some folks over there that would love to pray over any needs that you have. So now may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, O God. Amen.